Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Amen. I want to invite you, if you brought your Bible, to open up with me to the book of Chronicles. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles today. 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. We'll get there in a minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 17. We are in a series on praise and worship. And the title of the series is This Is How I Fight. And the goal is honestly to take our church, and with you being a part of our church, yourself, deeper over into praise and worship. And so we're just honored to have you here with us. And not only do we have you here with us, but we have a lot of people watching by live stream right now. In fact, I see we've got Christy from Dallas, Nancy from Birmingham, and Dominique from Florida. What? Let's give it up for everyone watching on live stream. We're so excited that you're able to tune in, and hopefully you'll be able to worship here at Word of Life with us sometime in person. How many of you love praise and worship? Anybody just, yes. Aren't you thankful for our praise and worship team? I mean, God has, wow, given us the best of the best when he gave us these guys. And what I want to do is, like I said, I want to teach us the power of praise and worship. And I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants to unveil some things in my heart, honestly, and also in your hearts, that takes this assembly over into deeper praise and deeper worship. So I just want to communicate this right off the bat. Praise is not the fast music, and worship is not the slow music. I know that there's this thought of like, okay, we're going to sing today, and praise is the fast music, and worship is kind of the slow music. But it's not that way. Here's what praise is. They'll put it up on the screen for those of you who are taking notes. Praise is not the fast songs. It is a boast that releases from God whatever you are boasting about. Praise is a boast about God that releases whatever you are boasting about from him. So if you're boasting on him being your healer, it releases healing. If you boast on him about being your provider, it releases his provision. Praise is a boast of faith that releases the power of God. Praise is a boast of faith that releases the power of God. There is no such thing as bad praise and worship. Have you ever felt this way before? It's like, whoa, praise and worship was a little off. It was a little off today. You know, you ever went into like a service and it's like, whoa, she was a little all out of tune. Or I know that's never happened here at Word of Life, but there are some praise and worship services that were like, oh, that was better than another one, or that one was worse than another one. But there is no such thing as bad praise and worship. However, praise and worship can be empty. There's no such thing as bad praise and worship. However, praise and worship can be empty. Jesus made this statement. He was quoting from the book of Isaiah. He said this in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 7 through 10. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, there are people who will come into church and they'll draw near to me with their mouth, like they're singing the songs. They'll honor me with their lips. I mean, the words on the screen are, woo, they're good words. They'll do all these things, but the whole time they're going through it, they're honestly just going through the motions. There's nothing in their words. It's empty. They are just singing. And this, whenever we do sing in church, it is not the singing part of the service. And it is most definitely not a concert. The thing that separates this from every other type of music is this is praise and worship. And it's not necessarily even about what is being said. It is all about what is being put into what is being said. When we quote-unquote sing praise and worship, We are putting our faith, we are putting our devotion, we are putting our love over into the words that we are singing, and that is what actually makes it so powerful. I've been reading books, obviously, if I'm teaching a lesson, I ought to be studying for said lesson. So I've been reading some books on praise and worship. And one of the books I came across was a book by a worship artist by the name of Chris Redman. And he has cranked out a lot of different worship songs and honestly has written some of the most famous songs that have been sung all over the world to Christ. I mean, just really, really gifted and anointed. Anyways, a praise and worship leader for a church in England called Soul Survivor. And they had a moment where they would come in and, you know, have praise and worship like we would do. And it was a growing church over there in England. And the pastor one day is sitting in service and he realizes that his church has become more of a consumer of praise and worship than a participant in praise and worship. So, meaning a lot of people came to their church because of the praise and worship. It's like, that church has good praise and worship. Have you ever done this before? It's like, that church has some good praise and worship, so we'll go to that church. And he noticed that the reputation of the praise and worship was kind of becoming dominant in the community. So a lot of people were coming to be spectators and to consume the worship that was going on. It was cutting edge, it was very vibrant, it was very youthy, it was very energetic, and people enjoyed it like you would enjoy a concert or like you would enjoy a recording artist, and they would come and they would listen, and they would come and enjoy it, and they would come and take it all in and walk away and be like, whoa, man, they sounded good. And whoa, man, she was on point today. And whoa, man, did you hear the electric guitar? And they would come and consume it, but they weren't participating in it. So the pastor of this church, he came and was praying, and the Lord really dealt with him, to next Sunday have everybody show up, but he would have stolen every musical instrument, every flashy light. He stole all the microphones, all the monitors, all the speakers. None of it was in the church. And when his worship team got there, they were immediately like, what in the world happened? We got robbed. Who robbed the church? And the pastor comes to him. He's like, no, we didn't get robbed. In fact, we have been allowing something to rob us. And he says, we have been making worship all about how good we can sound, how good we can make it look, how contemporary we can be. And we have forgotten about the one who is good. So he said, until we fix it, we're not getting our instruments back. We're not getting our flashy lights back. We're not getting any of it back until we fix this. And so they reported for like 6 weeks. It was so awkward, like so awkward in the church. People were leaving the church, you know, because it's like there is no microphone. So like, you know, it's a big church. So like in a room like this, if there's just one voice singing without a microphone, like you wouldn't be able to hear it. It would require all of the voices. And one person would start singing something, and then finally it would catch on with somebody else. But they said by the end of 6 weeks, something broke in that service. And they began to offer up a sacrifice of praise, and a sound came out of that church that literally went all around the world. In fact, it was during this moment that Chris Redman wrote his most famous song. They'll put up the lyrics of it on the screens. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Any of you remember singing this song? This moment was how this song was birthed. When his pastor took away everything and just made him lead a congregation, not into singing, but into praise and worship. He said, we're coming back to the heart of worship, for it's all about you. It's not about how good we sound. It's not about, can we hit the high notes? It's not about, does she sound a little off today? It's not about, he's wearing a hat. It's not about any of these other types of things. It is all about Jesus. And then he says, I'm sorry, Lord, for what we've made it. Because it's all about you. Like, it is all about you, God. It's all about what you are doing. It's all about what you have done. It's all about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's all about your mercy. It's all about your grace. It's all about your patience with me. It is all about you, God. Like, you have been amazing. So we're coming back to the heart of worship. And this is what I want for this church. We have amazing praise and worship. And honestly, we've spent more money on the sound in this place than almost any other thing. We have amazing inner ear monitors. We have like the best drum set you can buy. Like I was at a car dealership and I was telling the guy who was there at the car dealership who was helping me. He's like, what do you do? I'm like, I pastor church. He's like, oh really? What church do you pastor? I'm like, Word of Life. He's like, golly, y'all have like the best equipment. He's like, it blows my mind. He said, I play drums for my church. I won't tell you the name of the church. I'm like, bro, like you gotta be kind about your drums at your church, man. So he's like, the equipment there, man. He's like, it is out of this world. He's like, do you have a drummer? I'm like, yes, we have a drummer, man. Stay in your church. We've been blessed. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't spend less money on it. I wouldn't want anything but the best because I think, one, our God is worthy of that. And two, I think our team and you are worthy of that. But my point is I think in our consumer culture here in America, we have made worship into something that is judged and something that is critiqued. And it's like that worship team, they get a 10. It's like this other, woo, that service, 6.5. Like if we're being honest, 6.5. And I have been in foreign countries without anything. I mean, anything. Preaching by candlelight. One of my favorite moments in the history of my life, we did an outdoor event over in Kenya, right on the border of Uganda. And we were there, we were planting a church called Word of Life in Kenya. Come on, somebody. Who knows? With this, we're planning this church. So one good way to plant a church in some of these nations is to come into it and do like a big open air crusade, get a bunch of people born again. And then after the crusade, it's like we're starting a church right here next to the crusade grounds. Because then, you know, win the lost, but then you disciple the found and get them in a church. It's like we're planting one right here. And so we do the crusade, and then we have the church service. And I go preach in the church service, and it's nighttime at this point. I'm preaching by candlelight. And as I'm preaching, I'm like, we need to end in worship. And this lady comes up, and she starts singing, man. And I kid you not when I say the Spirit of God just filled that place. And she was pitchy. And she was all over the place vocally. And I had no idea what she was singing. No clue. But I knew who it was to. And the presence of God was so thick in that place. I've often heard that from people. You go over in these other nations and it's like the presence of God was just so thick. And every time it was a simpler atmosphere. Because it wasn't about any of those other things. It was about Him. And what I want for our church, I want God's best with praise and worship. Like, I want to give him our best with our instruments, with our worship, with our microphones, with our inner ear monitors, with all of, like, I want to give him our best with those things. But even more than that, I want us, I want me, I want you to, like, give praise and worship our best. That we come over into a place where we just slow down and we don't sing along, but we enter in. In the book of Malachi, I'm so off script, but it's okay. In the book of Malachi, if you've ever read Malachi, it's known as like the tithing book. And it starts out in Malachi chapter 1, where they are bringing sacrifices unto the Lord that are not good. They're bringing sheep, but it's like the sick sheep. Like, it's like, we're not going to eat that anyway, so let's give it to God. Seriously, you read it. And they're bringing these sacrifices over to God, and it's like just an afterthought. It's like, let's just put in our religious duty this week. And it hurt God. It hurt the Father. And he comes to him through a prophet, and he says to him, he's like, you wouldn't even eat that. Much less, not only would you not eat it, you definitely, like if you had a father come in your house or like a special occasion, you wouldn't offer that to them. So why would you offer it to me and think like, it's amazing? He's like, and you wonder why life is not working. You wonder why you don't see more of my power, more of my grace. He said, it's like you're putting money in bags with holes in it. And it's like as soon as you put it in, it's gone and you have nothing to show for it. And you're asking me, like, God, why aren't we seeing you do more in my life? And he said, I'll tell you why. It's because of the dishonor with these sacrifices. Now, this is interesting, because in the New Testament, you know what our sacrifices are? The fruit of our lips, giving praises unto God. The Bible calls that the sacrifice of praise. Paul wrote and he said, you are to offer up your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And friend, I'm telling you, I honestly think if people could actually learn how to praise and worship, not just in church, but blessing the Lord at all times. You're in the garage and your children walk up on you and they hear daddy just singing praises unto God. Did that bless you, our tithe and offering segment? Did that bless you like it blessed me? Like I love the fact of, you know, like letting God be the shepherd over the 100%, not just the 10%. But you know what blessed me even more than that? It's having a man open up the door to his son's room and his son knows it's coming. And like peeking in and sitting down on his bed and read him script. What? That honors God, friend. I'm telling you, that honors God. But this is the way it ought to be, that we are blessing the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. That the kids walk in the kitchen and mama's sitting there praising God. Well, somebody says, well, Pastor Joel, I can't sing. You lie. Everybody can sing. Not everybody should record. Not everyone should have a microphone. Not everyone needs to be on stage. But everybody can sing. In fact, one of the characteristics of a spirit-filled life is having a song in your heart. Just a song in your heart, singing praises unto God, giving glory unto God, just blessing the name of the Lord. Not because there's music playing, not because she's on key, not for any other reason than he's been too good for me not to praise him. He's been too great for me not to give him praise and thanks and honor. God, you've been too good. Because praise and worship, it is not to give him this vain ego trip where it's just he desires to hear his glory and splendor. Just like in Malachi, it wasn't about, hey, give me money because I need it. It's all about, I'm trying to do something in your life, and I can't do it until you open up a part of your life this way. And friend, I'm telling you, praise and worship, it is a mighty spiritual force. Our praise and our worship, it is a mighty spiritual force. I'm going to invite the worship team back out on stage. Like I said, we're going to end every service with praise and worship. But we know that this passage of scripture here in 2 Chronicles, they'll put it up on the screens, chapter 20. It's about a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And many of you know this story if you grew up in church. If you didn't grow up in church and don't know the story, you're in for a treat today. But King Jehoshaphat is facing an enemy that he doesn't know how to fight. It's so overwhelming that he looks at his own natural strength and realizes there's nothing I can do about this. And it does something quite wonderful in his life. It reduces him to God. Because if it would have been one foe, I don't know if he would have done what he did. Two foes, I don't know if he would have done what he did. Three foes, it reduces him to God. And he comes to God and he has this moment. He says, I don't know what to do. I do not know what to do. And maybe you're there. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. My finances are such a mess. I don't know what to do. I am such a mess. I don't know what to do. My kids are, golly, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. My health, my marriage, I don't know what to do. And this is where Jehoshaphat is at. I don't know what to do. But I love the way he ends it. But my eyes, they're over upon you, God. And I know that you have been faithful to me in my past, and I know you will be faithful to me right now. So I look to you, Father. And God sends a prophet. Oh, it blessed God. God sends a prophet, and he comes to Jehoshaphat, and he tells him this. This is from God. You will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow you'll go out against them. For the Lord your God will be with you. I will be with you. You will not have to fight this battle. I will fight it for you, for I will be with you. And I love what Jehoshaphat did next. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, offering up the body as a living sacrifice. We ought to get our bodies involved in praise and worship. Somebody said, is it necessary? It's not necessary unless it's necessary. In which case, it's always necessary. Now, I'm not talking about distracting your neighbor. I'm not talking about, you know, hands in the face and slapping people and disrupting their worship experience. This is not drawing attention to you. And if you do that, you ought to stop. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. But what I am saying is, you see why he's doing this? He's not doing this because he saw someone else do it. He's doing it because he believes that the Lord is going to do exactly what God said he would do. And out of this belief, it drives action. God saw his faith. He bows himself to the ground, and watch what he says. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of the Lord fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And the Levites, these are the praisers, and the children of the, I'm not even going to try, and the children of the other, I don't know, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever."